While the bemused seamen were wondering whether what they thought they had seen was real, the whole area was immediately cleared by naval security and shore patrol personnel. The seamen decided that perhaps in the best interest of getting back to England as soon as possible, it was best not to talk about whatever sort of projection or camouflage the Yanks were up to. So only recently corroborated their chance sightings of the elusive DE-173. A rather convincing indication that an experiment similar to the reputed Philadelphia experiment took place more or less as reported was the subject of a secret memorandum read to certain officers and crews from the Secretary of Navy comes from Frederick Tracy, a Navy World War II veteran who served on three ships. One of them was the USS Antietam CV-36. Tracy had heard about the Philadelphia experiment from a shipmate, Fireman First Class D.J. Myers, in 1944. When their ship was in dry dock in Philadelphia. Myers pointed out a dock and said, "See that dock over there? That's the dock a ship once disappeared at." Myers thereupon told Tracy the story. When he was finished, Tracy said, "I don't believe you." To which Myers replied, "I didn't think you would." The next year, however, well, I've read enough. Now, the government has a form letter if you write them. Form letter. Everybody gets the letter. It's like the ones the FCC write about me. Department of the Navy. In reply, refer to 01-2252A/JBV/DH. 23 July 1976. Department of the Navy. Over the years, we have received innumerable queries about the so-called Philadelphia Experimenter Project and the alleged role of the Office of Naval Research, ONR, in it. The frequency of these queries predictably intensifies each time the experiment is mentioned by the popular press, often in a science fiction book. Or Scott. The genesis of the Philadelphia experiment myth dates back to 1955 with the publication of the case for the UFOs by the late Dr. Morris K. Jessup, a scientist with a Ph.D. in astrophysics and a varied career background. Sometime after the publication of the book, Dr. Jessup received a letter by Carlos Miguel Allende, who gave his address as RD No. 1, Box 223, New Kensington, Pennsylvania. In the letter, Allende commented on Dr. Jessup's book and gave details of an alleged secret naval experiment in Philadelphia in 1943. During the experiment, according to Allende, a ship was rendered invisible and teleported to and from Norfolk in a few minutes, with some terrible after effects for the crew members. Supposedly, this incredible feat was accomplished by applying Einstein's never-completed unified field theory. Allende claimed that he had witnessed the experiment from another ship and that the incident was reported in a Philadelphia newspaper. Neither the identity of Allende nor that of the newspaper has ever been established. Well, that's done in this book. In 1956, a copy of Jessup's book was mailed anonymously to Admiral Firth, the Chief of Naval Research. The pages of the book were interspersed with handwritten annotations and marginalia, apparently made by three different persons as they passed the book back and forth among them. The notations implied a knowledge of UFOs, their means of motion, and generally the culture and ethos of the beings occupying these UFOs. The book came to the attention of two officers then assigned to ONR, who happened to have a personal interest in the subject. It was they who contacted Dr. Jessup and asked him to take a look at his book. By the wording and style of one of the writers of the notations, Dr. Jessup concluded that the writer was the same person who had written him about the Philadelphia experiment. It was also these two officers who personally had the book retyped and who arranged for the publication in typewritten form of 25 copies. The officers and their personal belongings have left ONR many years ago. We do not have even a file copy of the annotated book. And everybody believes that. Rise, flap your arms, and fly to heaven. The Office of Naval Research never conducted an official study of the manuscript. As for the Philadelphia experiment itself, ONR has never conducted any investigation on invisibility, either in 1943 or any other time. ONR was established in 1946. Nice little rhetoric. I tell you, I never did any teaching in 1920. I wasn't born until 1929. The Navy did. ONR established in 1946. In view of present scientific knowledge, our scientists do not believe that such an experiment could be possible except in the realm of science fiction. A scientific discovery of such import, if it had in fact occurred, could hardly remain secret for such a long time. I hope this provides a satisfactory answer to your inquiry. Sincerely, Betty W. Shirley, Head Research and Public Inquiries Section. All the other research might not be so convincing if it were not for the fact late in the evening on Tuesday, October 7th, 1975, Robert Suffern, a 27-year-old carpenter from rural Bracebridge, Ontario, received a call from his sister, who lives down the road, asking him to investigate a strange glow that seemed to be coming from a nearby barn. Suffern drove to the barn, took a quick look around, and not seeing anything out of the ordinary, was proceeding to his sister's house when he was startled to see a darkened, saucer-shaped object about 12 to 14 feet in diameter squatting on the gravel road directly ahead of him. "I was scared," he later recounted to a Toronto Sun reporter. "It was right there in front of me with no lights and no signs of life. His car hadn't quite come to a full stop," he said, "when the object went straight up in the air and out of sight." According to Suffern's story, he had no sooner managed to turn his car around and head for home when a strange... Now, what makes this significant is that was October. On December 12, 1975, after the Sufferns were beginning to feel some semblance of order again, I skipped the rest of the story. Their farm was literally swamped for weeks by roving bands of curiosity seekers. Three men were delivered to their home in an Ontario provincial police cruiser. The appointment had been prearranged in November. These officials arrived in full uniform, bearing impressive credentials and representing themselves as the top brass from the Canadian Forces in Ottawa, the United States Air Force Pentagon, and from the Office of Naval Intelligence. What's that bunch of brass coming to see this guy for? I don't want to read such a heavy scientific book all night long. I have some other things. Demon Possession by Nevius. I sent out to get it today. John L. Nevius. Experiences in the Shantung Province in China by a disbelieving missionary out of the conservative church who encountered demon possession, the likes of which he had never seen. Now, we've had a demonologist of the Catholic faith, a demonologist of the Pentecostal faith, a poltergeist experience in John Wesley's home. Now we're going to take a very conservative, respected missionary to China who gets blown away by an experience that'll blow you away. I have other things to read. And I've got a lot of things that I want to read. But why am I reading that heavy Philadelphia experiment lie? There's just a lot of strange going on. Now, these people who experienced this, some of them who claimed to go invisible, saw alien creatures. Now, the shaman makes that trip through his tunnel. I just want to know if the Gestalt is coming home. That it's a bit premature to say these things couldn't happen, therefore they didn't happen. Something happened. And what I want to find out is like the old country preacher says, "Now, Kneebuck had a rozzer. And what Wins is going to do today is find out what Brother Kneebuck did to that there robber. This spring, when I was at C.K. at Chuang in the district of Xiuquang, I was given the Christians there an account of the case of Mr. Kuo at Hingqia. My Chinese has a lot to be said for it. When an inquirer present said, "We have a similar case here." It was that of a woman also named Kuo. She was 32 years of age and had suffered from this infliction 8 years. It happened that at the time of my visit, the woman was suffering more than usual. Her husband, in the hope that the demon would not disturb his wife in the house of a Christian, had brought her to the home of his brother-in-law, Mr. Sen, S-E-N, who had lately professed Christianity. On my arrival, they said to me, "She is here, on the opposite side of the court," and they begged me to cast out the spirit, as they had tried every method they knew of without effect. Then, without waiting for my assent, they brought the woman into the room where I was. I said, "I have no power to do anything of myself. We must ask God to help us." When we knelt in prayer, the woman was lying on the king, which is the earthen bed in North China, apparently unconscious. When the prayer was finished, she was sitting up, her eyes closed with a fluttering motion of the eyelids, her countenance like one weeping and the fingers of both hands tightly clenched. She would allow no one to straighten her closed fingers. I then, hardly expecting an answer as the woman had hitherto been speechless, said to the demon, "Have you no fear of God? Why do you come here to afflict this woman?" To this I received instantly the following reply, "Tien pu yo shu pu kwanan." Demons talk Chinese. I'll just read the translation. "God and Christ will not interfere. I've been here 7 or 8 years and I claim this is my resting place. You can't get rid of me. Turn me down. Hope we get the demon out of these mics." She continued for some time uttering a succession of rhymes similar to the above without the slightest pause. The purport of them being, "I want a resting place and I will not leave this one." The utterances were so rapid that the verses given above was the only one I could remember perfectly. I can recall another line. "You are man, I am Xian, one of the genii." After repeating these verses, evidently extemporized for the occasion, a person present dragged her back to her apartment, the demon not having been exorcised. Prayer didn't do it, my friend. Mr. Ling revisited the region in the month of August. I was attending service one Sunday in a village 2 miles from Si Kiao Chuang, and Mr. Sen from the latter village was present. Noticing Mr. Sen's hand, a paper parcel, I inquired what it contained. He told me it contained cinnabar. This was the medicine which was used for the purpose of expelling evil spirits there. Mr. Sen said he had procured it to administer to the possessed woman, Mrs. Kuo, who was suffering from her problem again very severely. I spoke then to the Christians present as follows. "We're worshippers of the true God. We ought not to use the world's method for exorcising demons, but rather appeal to God only. The reason why we didn't succeed before was our want of faith." I went on to tell them how willing God is to answer prayer, told them they ought to go exercise. While this was transpiring at Wu Kiao Miao, whatever it is, the Christians at Si Kiao Chong were attempting to hold their customary Sunday evening service. But Mrs. Kuo, or the demon possessing her, was determined to prevent it. She raved wildly and, springing upon the table, threw the Bibles and hymn books on the floor. The wife of a younger Mr. Sen, who was a Christian, then became similarly affected, and the two women were raving together. They were heard saying to each other, "Those three men are coming here, and we've got as far as the stream. Someone asked, "Who's coming?" The women replied with great emphasis, "One of them is that man Lane." The family said, "He'll not be here today," to which the demon replied, "If he does not come here today, then I'm no shin. They're now crossing the stream and will reach here when the sun is about so high," and she pointed to the west. And no one could have known the ordinary way they were coming. When we arrived at the village, a large company was assembled. After a time, I went into the north building where the two raving women were sitting together on the king. I addressed the demon possessing them as follows. Oh, you're not interested in this. I have one message. There's an awful lot of evidence out there if you want to look. Now, what can tie this together? I got some more things to finish, but I don't want to continue if I'm boring you. I used up so much time on that big lie of the Philadelphia experiment. I'm still mad about that.